kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
But I'd like to just exhort you in the word this evening, and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11 and verse 8. That is what we're going to look at today. Hebrews 11 and verse 8, which says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Not knowing where he was going. And I'm calling our teaching today, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And we're going to base this from Hebrews 11 and verse 8. And of course, we know that this is from the great chapter of faith, where we read of all the saints, our forefathers, who walk by faith, just like we do as well. And this is one of the great callings, because Abraham is simply called of God, and he leaves everything, and he takes his family with him, and he walks by faith, trusting God. That is quite a calling, and grace has to be on your life as well for such a calling. But the emphasis here is on the not knowing. And that's why I'm calling our teaching today, "What are you doing?" Because most of our walk, we don't really know. And that is why we walk by faith. You see, has God brought you to a place where you haven't a clue? There's no logic or explanation if you ask him. In actual fact, he doesn't tell us. All we simply know is that we are to walk by faith. You see, one of the hardest questions to answer anyone is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do as a Christian? How are you going to walk? What is God going to have for you? What are the blessings going to be? Or what are the trials and the testings? And none of us have a clue. We don't know. Now, for some, that can seem alarming, almost frightening. And yet, on the other side, being Almighty God, that is one of the most exciting walks that one could ever have in one's life, to walk by faith, not knowing, with Almighty God, who has called and predestined us before the foundation of the world. How many actually walk a walk like that, where we don't know what we are doing, but all I know is that God is faithful. I've responded to the call, just like Abraham did in his family. And he showed me a promised land, he showed me eternity, heaven, a dwelling place with him throughout eternity. And that's all I know. I don't know anymore. But I know that I walk by faith and not by sight. You see, we can only say when people ask these questions, and they do, even our families, we can only say to them, "Well, God knows." Which, of course, he does. because we don't know what he's going to do next. You do not know what God is going to do tomorrow if he tarries. None of us do. We wake up tomorrow like we do every day, and we walk it by faith. And let God be God, because he knows what he's doing. And that is how Abraham responded to the call of God. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. So he said he obeyed, he didn't question. Obviously he knew this was God. I mean, he's not stupid, but he knew this was God and God was calling him. So he obeyed, he didn't question. And going out, not knowing where he was going. So that is a great calling on his life. But that is no different for Abraham as it is for you, or it was for our Lord Jesus Christ, or for any other saint. So we can't just turn around and say, oh, well, that was just for Abraham, it wasn't for me. We can't do that, because that is the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit was work there in his calling, the same as the Holy Spirit is the same in your calling and my calling. And the rest, it is by faith. Now let's just encourage ourselves in some familiar verses and chapters. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. And look at verses 25 to 34 of Matthew 6. And of course we know this well, where it's the chapter about not worrying and not being concerned about everyday things, but we simply trust God and walk and let him do the rest. And he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. That means your life in general. If the Lord tarries, what will happen to me? Will the Lord keep me, preserve me in my old age? Or will I go through bad trials, or will I land up in a wheelchair, or will I be put in a home? What will I be like when I get older? As you start to get older, these are things that start to come into your mind. But he says here, not to worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So he's saying your body, which is important to him, and that's why I keep saying I believe in the gospel and the teaching to be to the whole man in mind, body and spirit. He's saying quite clearly here, your body is important to me. So important that I don't want you to concern yourself about the future. About will you be kept in good health? Will he clothe me? Will he feed me? Will he look after me? He doesn't want us to be concerned about that. God is so great, so big, that there are things far, far more important with our walk with him than concerning ourselves about such trivia. And yet we can make it so important. And we have to learn that God loves us. And he goes on in verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into burrows, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So again, then he refers to nature. to life, to birds out there. They're not at all concerned about where their food is going to come from, about their life. They know that God will provide. And he says that you are of greater value than that. That is why it's good as a Christian to go out sometimes into nature and to have a walk. Or just to observe out of your window the birds, the animals. And just watch how God provides. How birds hop along the grass and everything, and suddenly they see a big juicy worm. You wouldn't see it, but they see it. They know it's there because God provides. And he goes on, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So he now goes to the root of the problem, which is worry, anxiety. This is a problem that plagues churches. It's plagued us in FGA at times, and God is getting us delivered from this. So why do you worry, he says, about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. So he's saying, don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about provisions. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about paying the bills or replacing the new cooker or the car's gone wrong or whatever it would be. He says, don't worry about it. Don't consider it. I've gone before you even know about it. Even before it's gone wrong, I've gone before and prepared the way to renew it or replace it or whatever. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those. Referring, of course, to lilies that grow. And they are a most beautiful flower. We see artificial flowers today, and some of them are pretty good, but they don't come up to real life flowers, I can assure you. It's man's feeble attempt. And so he's trying to get a message home to us. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So he's talking about things that are discarded, things that will fade away quickly, like when you cut the lawn and the grass and throw it onto the heap. It soon dies, disappears. But he says, you're not like that, because you're made in my image. You're not here today and gone tomorrow in that sense. He realizes that we have to live in this life for the amount of years that he gives and blesses us, and he's going to preserve and keep us while we still live in this world. Because he doesn't make a mistake over our lives. He doesn't make a mistake from calling us from the foundation of the world. That is what he's trying to get over, because you are of greater value. He's trying to deliver us from worry, anxiety, fear. That is a killer to faith. That is why we battle with our faith. That's why at times we don't get answers to our prayers, because we're not dealing with what we should be dealing with first. And that is worry, anxiety, fear. The enemy knows where to attack with our faith. And this is why the Lord in the Beatitudes here is making such an emphasis about this. And it goes on in verse 31. Therefore, Do not worry. Look how many times he keeps bringing this up, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? He's already referred to this before. He's now bringing it up again. Because these are the things that can so consume our lives as Christians. And he's saying they are trivial things. They are not things that are important, like the world places such emphasis. For example, what does he say here? Do not worry, saying what you shall eat. Well, we live in an age now where if you put the television on every night, there's a program on food or some celebrity chef. Or whatever it is, we are obsessed with food. So he says, we're not even to consider that. God will provide. He will feed us. Or he says, what we shall drink. Well, everyone likes to drink. People love wine, beer, and everything. Again, great emphasis on not only wining, but dining. And we go out occasionally and Lord blesses on that. But he's using these analogies for a reason. Or what shall we wear? Well, of course, the rag trade. Clothing. You know, this generation is obsessed with clothes. How they look. What they want to wear. Designer and everything. Obsessed. And he says, don't be worried, concerned about any of these things that the world pushes and makes so much of. And this is what we have to be delivered from. These mindsets, these things that we bring over when the Lord saves us. And then he goes on, for after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And so he's revealing, he's generous, he's a giving Father. He knows all these things and he's going to give and he'll give abundantly. He might not give when you want it, but he'll always give at the right time. And he will give those needs also that are needful. And then, of course, the great classic verse. And all of this can be appropriated if we do this. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What does he say? Seek his kingdom. You cannot seek anything greater than the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is greater and bigger than your fellowship, your church, your minister, or whoever you follow. It is far greater and bigger. And if the gospel that we teach does not encompass the kingdom of God, then it is not adequate. It is inferior. And that is what God is teaching us, the kingdom message. Because it is the kingdom message that will reach out to the vilest offender and sinner. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And here we get it. We're not to worry about tomorrow or next week or whatever it is. That's why I'm calling this teaching, what are you doing? Because the emphasis is in not knowing. Not knowing what God is going to do tomorrow. All I know is I shall wake up by his grace and mercy and I shall walk with him that day in fellowship. And whatever the day brings, God knows, because I don't know. And if you know what your day is bringing every day and you've got it planned down to the finest detail, then something is wrong with your walk. Because that's not how God calls us to walk with him. He calls us to trust him. And he says, sufficient is the day, because he's gone before, and so on. And whether maybe it includes trials or testings or whatever it is, so be it. Well, with verse 34 of that we've just read, let's couple that with also James, the book of James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verses 13 to 15. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Wherefore you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And there we go. Again, James brings this all out. In other words, what he's saying is, don't bind yourself down to your own plans and decisions and wants. Because God has a way of fouling it all up. God has a way of changing what we try and plan and scheme and do. And rightly so, because he's called us, like Abraham, to walk by faith and not by sight. To just trust him, obey him, and know that he's gone before, and whatever he has for your life, my life, will be perfect. It will be tailor-made. Whether it is blessing or whether it is trials, whatever it will be, it will be tailor-made for me to be able to walk by his grace and mercy and by faith. And that is where we got to trust him, brothers and sisters. We are certainly living in a time and age now where we're seeing things are rapidly, rapidly falling away. And we know we can't plan the future now with what we're beginning to see more and more. And thank God, because of the state of what is happening, that we have this privilege of being able to walk by faith in covenant and relationship with him. As long as we're walking each day with Jesus, nothing else matters. Even prophets who point to the future or have an insight of what is coming, they only know in part. And they're anointed for such a ministry. So how much more us? Because most are not called as prophets. You know, overall, he never tells you. The only thing he's going to tell you and show you, and he's going to reveal his glory. He's going to reveal his greatness, his love, his word, his sovereignty. He's going to tell you everything you need to know about him. But he isn't going to tell you about your walk. And rightly so. He'll let you know what he's capable of doing. He'll let you know how he'll bless you in your walk. We've already just read it back in Matthew 6. How he said that he's going to provide, feed us, clothe us, give us all and more. For the very purpose so that we can be free to have time with him. And not to be caught up in anxiety and fear that gets in the way with our relationship with God. You know, I wonder how the Lord feels sometimes when we come before him. Oh Lord, I've had a terrible day today. It was hard. You know how I feel. And you know, Lord, the rent is due at the end of the month. I've got to pay the car tax. My tax bill is coming through. Lord, you know, and everything. How often have we brought that up? So many times in the presence of God, and what is always accompanied with it? That worry, fear, and anxiety. And yet he's so patient, so loving, so merciful. We're actually giving something to God, if you did but know it, by surrendering and giving over those anxieties and fears. It is actually ministering to the Lord. It's actually bringing us together in fellowship without the usual problems and prayers that we bring up constantly in his presence. He's trying to free us from this so that we can go deeper with him. We can see greater things with him. We can really start to seek those things that are of the kingdom of God. What did I say there? That we seek the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of self. And that is still the problem. And that is why we don't see the answers to our faith as we should. You know, you will come eventually to that place where you no longer are surprised at what he does, where he leads you or guides you or what he reveals to you. It won't come as a surprise anymore. Let's turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Let's find this. Psalm 115. And verse 3, which says, but our God is in heaven, he does whatever he pleases. And there we are. He's in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. And nothing's going to change it. Your worrying, your anxiety, whatever it is, nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change what he has said in Matthew 6 with the Beatitudes, verses 25 to 34. That is what he says, and that is what he requires of us. And we note, when we read back in Hebrews 11:8, that Abraham went out and he obeyed the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, here is somewhere where you can obey him. Now don't question it. Just obey him. Just trust him. No fear, no worry, no anxiety. And when you feel it coming on, or you start to hear yourself talking it before the Lord, nip it in the bud. And you watch what God will do. Because God says he has provided for that. And he's trying to show us what the kingdom of God is really all about, or the kingdom of heaven. You'll come to that place where you will no longer be surprised. What he does, what he requires, or what he's up to. Our lives will be a continual going out, walking in the Spirit, and not in the flesh, each day. And we don't do it out of duty, we do it because we walk together in fellowship, in covenant, moving out because Jesus is there. He's with me, in me, through me. We walk together. You don't have to explain yourself or justify yourself. You don't have to explain or justify yourself with the Lord. And therefore you don't have to do it always with friends or family, your loved one or whatever it is. All it is, I walk with the Lord and I don't know anymore. But God knows. You don't know where you're going. You don't know who you're going to see. And that's what our walk is about. That is exactly what God was doing with Abraham and all the saints that walked by faith, because they had let everything go. He had left his family. He had left what was to him security. To walk a faith walk that in the natural did not look secure by any means. But God was teaching him that his security lied in him, in a person, in a being, in God Almighty. And that is what God is doing with us. Very often our circumstances look shaky. The future, we don't know. Very often it looks negative. But one thing I know is my walk, my security, my life is in him. And that is secure, because he is the one who will take me home to heaven. That is security by faith. And we get that right, then you'll be able to walk this walk, and whatever comes along, trials or tests, you'll know, because your security lies in him and him alone. You see, that is what he's doing fundamentally. You know, sometimes, very often, we are building for God, or he's building through us. He's building in FGA. And that building is his glory, his presence. That is what he's placing himself, his presence in and through us, individually and corporately. But we don't see the finished result sometimes until years later. Sometimes we don't see the visions that he's given and the prophecies until years later. And this assembly has had quite a few prophecies and visions. I'm reminded of what I said on Sunday of Joseph, how God had a purpose, a plan, a vision for him, but he didn't see the end result of that until years later, and being put in prison as well. Job, another one, went through trial, physical trial, lost everything, but he didn't see until later what God was building through him, so that he would be one of the patriarchs in the word of God, to show that God is faithful and will bring us through. Because nobody goes through what Job went through. And you could just continue with all of this. And your life is a testimony, the same as well. He's building through you, so that he's going to reveal and show his glory in later years at the right time. And they are going to see. Your families are going to see. Your friends are going to see. And whoever we have around us, they will see. I'm reminded, going back to Hebrews 11, of Noah. I know we know this well. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. We know that he heard from God. God revealed the plans to build that ark. And for 120 years, he was building that ark. And what was he building it for? He was building it for God, for God's glory, for God to preserve a remnant. And God is doing the same with us. Our prayers, our intercessions, our praying for our loved ones is building that spiritual ark for the future, that they will be preserved, that they will make it into the kingdom of heaven It may look negative. It may look as though they're even further away than when you started praying. But that's got nothing to do with it. God is building through you. He's building through your prayers, through your intercessions. Why am I stressing this? Because it's always about God's glory. And mark my words, he is jealous over his glory. So here he is, Noah, building this ark, prepared an ark, saving of his household. There we are, that's why we can believe and pray for our families, our loved ones, by which he condemned the world. So what God was doing through him, what he was preparing, was convicting the world, was exposing sin, unbelief, rebellion. And that is what the church does. We are that lampstand, we are that light. We are condemning the world. We are condemning the sin, the rebellion, by what God is building through our lives, both individually and corporately, and became heirs of righteousness, which is according to faith. So he was made right before God, the same as you and I are made right through Jesus Christ. So as I bring this then to a conclusion, and we're talking about what are you doing, why are we to walk like this then? Well, let's recap and let's think through again. Firstly, we are to walk like this because it stops one from planning and scheming. That's why we're to walk like we are. God is not going to have us to plan and scheme. It hinders our walk, our growth with God. You do not have to plan. You do not have to scheme. God will give you the desires of your heart. He will bless you. He knows what you like and what you want far more than even yourself. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, he says. So he's going to provide for everything so that you can be completely free to experience the revelation and the greatness of the kingdom of God. So that is the first thing. The second thing why we are to walk like this. Secondly, our testimony is all about him and not self-achievements. There are a lot of testimonies, but there's a lot of self that can be involved in them. Not these testimonies. They are going to be all about him and him alone. That we boast in nothing of it. This I had nothing to do with this. I just simply trusted God. I obeyed him and let him do what he wants to do in and through me. That is testimony. And that's why we don't plan or scheme. And thirdly, and finally, why we are to walk like this, because it throws you on the mercy and the grace of God, which is what we need. We need the grace and mercy of God. And by being thrown utterly, completely upon him, enables that grace and mercy to work on your behalf and my behalf. In other words, it's letting go. It's deliverance. It's no longer what I want. It's all about him, and I trust him that he will give everything and more that will be a blessing, that will be a joy, and so on. God doesn't get it wrong over our lives. Trust me. And we need to really have faith in that. So the question is, what are you doing? Well, we can only say, I haven't a clue. But whatever it will be a blessing. Whatever God does, he will bless. He will never let me down. He always delivers. He always gets it right. And that is good enough for me. I haven't a clue, but I'm glad that he does. That is having that simple, childlike faith. And that is why he's delivering us, brothers and sisters, so that we experience this. And as I close, I thought about this as I was preparing this today. We are so blessed that God speaks to us in the way that he does. You know, everything within us with what we're receiving and receive through this wonderful manner that he gives to us, these steaks, this meat. You don't want to let him down. You want to do it right. You want to do it his way. Because everything within us knows we cannot go wrong in this. And this is the greatest walk and privilege that we could ever have in our lives. And what a future we have. What we have to look forward to in eternity. We can't even begin to comprehend. And all he's asking of us is not to worry, not to have anxiety or fear or anything. Let's just obey him. Let's just trust him. And when it starts to nag in the old mind, just say, I'm not entertaining it. God will provide. He will not let me down. He will not let my family down. Rest in the promises of God. So that is what we've been looking at, brothers and sisters. What are you doing? Well, you don't know, but all you know is God is with you. He's leading you, he's guiding you, and you walk day by day in covenant with him.
Jesus.